Okay, everybody, so today's daf is Yuma Daf Nun Dalid. We're here at the Gemara Nun Gimel of Beis. We just had a long Mishnah, and we're going to start the Gemara right now. The first thing the Mishnah had said yesterday, if you remember, is Kishenitel Aron, right, when the Aron was taken, right, so then we had talked about the Evan Shasia, right, a bunch of other things, etc., etc. So the Gemara first wonders, right, if you remember, we had a couple of blad ago, right, we talked about how the Aron was Nignas, was hidden by Yoshio. So Gemara points out that that's actually Machlokes Tanai, right? The Gemara says Misha Nignas Lokatani Elam Misha Nital, right? From it doesn't say it was hidden away. It was putting Geniza. It says it was taken. So as the Gemara says, Tanan Kamanda Aron Galal Bavel, right? This Mishnah is holding like the one who says that the Aron was taken to Bavel. The Tanya, like within the Brayser, Rabbi Elazar Omer Aron Galal Bavel. The Aron was taken to Bavel, and right when the Babylonians destroyed the first place. And Mikdash Shenamar, as Bozuk says, with the Chuvas Hashana Shalach Hamelch Mechadnezer by Yehu. Bavela im klei chemdas beis Hashem. Right, he brought everything. Rav Shimon bar Yochai Omer. Rav Shimon bar Yochai says Aron galal Bavel. He agrees. Rav Shimon bar Yochai agrees. Shneimar Pasuk says Lo yoser davar amar Hashem elu aseres hadibros. Right, shabo. Right, talking about the aseres hadibros that also went to Bavel. Right, the aseres hadibros were in the Aron. So that Rav Shimon bar Yochai right agrees. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, Aron bim kono nignas. No, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the Aron was hidden away right, in its place. Shema Zabazuk says, Vayiru Roshe HaBadim as HaKodesh al Pnei HaDvir, V'lo Yeru HaChutza, Vayiru Sham Arayom HaZeh. It was there until today, meaning the Aron was there right, in the Beis HaMikdash area right until today. Upligat Ula, this is actually against Ula. Damar Ula, as Ula says, Shol Rabbi Masya ben Cheresh, as Rabbi Shema Yochai Baromi. Yes, Rabbi Shema Yochai in Rome, he says, V'chim Afesh Rabbi Elezer, Milamadnu, Pam Rishono, Shnia, Aron Galal Bavel, right, didn't, after Rabbi Eliezer taught us twice that the Aron was taken to Bavel, so the Gemara says, well, Rishona, the first time I remember, Hada Amar is what we just said, but Rabbi Yehuda Bavela, Im Klei Chamdas Beis Hashem. But Shnia Mai, what's the second time Rabbi Elazar taught us that? So Mai, so the Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, V'yatsa Mi Bas Tzion, right, Kol Hadara, right, all of the Hadar, all of the beauty, of all of the glory of Tzion left. Right, my Kol Hadara, what is that? That's Chadra, that's, it's, right, the Cheder, the innermost room, right, i.e., the Kodesh Kodashim, what was in that room, right, the Aron. So, okay, so either way, so once he teaches us, right, that once he taught us twice, Rabbi Elazar did, that the Aron was taken to Bavel, so my Ata Omer, what do you say? I mean, what's your opinion? And that's, Rabbi Elazar said to him, Shani Omer Aron b'makom nignaz. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, again, against that what we just mentioned, that, that was it called? And again, that's what we said. We're pliga de Ula. This is against Ula. What Ula is a version of Rav Shimon bar Yochai's Shita. Right? It's different than what we just quoted. Right? So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, according to Ula, said, no, Amalo. He said, no, Shani Omer, I disagree. Aron b'mekono nignaz. Right? The Aron was hidden away in its place. Shanet, as Pasuk says, Vayirucho Abadim, right? He quotes the same Pasuk. It was Sham Arayom HaZeh. It was there until this day. Amalei Rabba Ula, Rabba said to Ula, my mashma. Where? How do you know that from that pasuk, right? That the Aron was hidden on Har HaBayis. Right? Maybe Dichtiv Ayu Sham Arayom HaZeh. Right? Maybe it's because it was there until today. Right? It doesn't necessarily. Right? How do you know? Right? Olamu? Really? You tell me that is right forever. Right? Again, Arayom HaZeh, again, it says a bunch of times in the Chumash and Tanakh, Arayom HaZeh, until today, right? How literal do you take this? Right? So Rabbah said to Ula, right, that doesn't necessarily mean, Arayom HaZeh doesn't necessarily mean forever. Faksiv Pazik says, V'sayivusi Yoshev Yishalayim lo harishu b'nei b'nyamin Yoshev v'yishev ha'yivusi b'nei b'nyamin b'yishalayim, Arayom HaZeh. Right, that it says that the Yevusi lived with Yerushalayim, with the Bnei Binyamin in Yerushalayim, Arayom HaZeh, until this very day. Right, so how can that be the whole Galu? What do you tell me that the Binyamin was never exiled? Right, so Tanya was under the rice of Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chamisha Mishtayim Shana Lo Avar Ish B'Yehuda. Right, for 52 years between the first and second Beis Hamikdash, there was nobody in Yerushalayim. There's nobody in the lands of Yehuda. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, Al Harim Esa Bechi. Right, Vanihi Val Neos Bibar Kina, right, Kinitsatu Mibli Ish, Over Velo Shamuko, right, Mekneme Ofa Shamayan Vad Behema, Nidru, Nidru, Nidro Halachu, Halachu, right, and then the Gemara learns Behema, Begematria, Hamish, Rishtaimavu, right, Behema, right, to allude to the 52 years. Right, that's again, there were no noises, right? It says there was no noise, there was no water, there was no noise, there was no people, right? So the word behema implies 52 years, right? That's a hint, right? V'tanya, another rabbi, so Rabbi Yosi Omer Sheva, what is it? Sheva Shonim is kaima gafriz v'melech b'Eretz Yisrael. There was sulfur and salt in Eretz Yisrael for 7 years. If I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, my time is Rabbi Yosi. Where does Rabbi Yosi get that from? He says, Asiyah bris bris, right? He has exer shava between bris and bris. Ksivacha says over here by the exile, right? Vigbir bris la rabim shavu echad. Right? There will be a bris for the rabim, for the strong people. It doesn't mean for the masses, but for the strong people. I mean for Bovel. For Shavua Echad, that doesn't mean for a week, that means for 7 years. Right? Uksiv also, it says over there, again, and by the Tokacha, Amru al Asher Azu is Bris Hashem Elokei Avosam, right? People will ask, why are the Jews being exiled? Because they, not by the Tokacha, by Parshas, I think by Parshas Nitzavim, right? It says, Parshas Nitzavim, right? Why, the people will ask, why are the Jews being exiled? It said, because they violated the treaty. Long story short, the pasuk continues to say, Gofriz v'amelech sreifa kol ha'aretz, right? Losis harav v'los hatzmiach, right? There's going to be salt and sulfur, right, in Eretz Yisrael for breaking this treaty. That's the bris that the Gzeir Shava, that Rabbi Yossi learns. So, tachlis is that there was nobody, right? Again, it doesn't necessarily mean, adio mazeh, doesn't necessarily mean forever. So why would Re'ula say that the Aron stayed in the Beis HaMikdash, right, adio mazeh? This Gemara says, haksiv sham. It's because it says there. Right? You have the word there. Right? The word there, and the word until to this day, right, sham, and adio mazeh, combining those two, that tells me that it was forever. Right? And also, but over there, by Benjamin, doesn't say sham. Kumar says, come on. Right, really, sham, the word sham means forever. Right, Mezve, I'll ask you a question. Umehem min b'nei Shimon holchu l'har Seir, anashim chamesh me'os. 500 people from b'nei Shimon went to Har Seir. Upalti of an area of Arafia of Uziel. B'nei Yishu b'rosham. Those are the people who are leading the expedition. V'akuz sheris ha'pleitol Amalek v'yishvu sham ad yom hazeh. Right, they defeated Amalek in Har Seir and they lived there for ad yom hazeh. V'yishvu sham, right, they lived there ad yom hazeh until today. Right, and obviously, right, the what's it called, the B'nai Shimon were exiled, right? Kfar Alas and Cheriv Melech Ashur Bildo Kol Aratzos. That's in Cheriv already mixed up all the lands, right? The Mitzrayim of today are not the Mitzrayim of back then, not Egyptians from back in the day, the Syrians are not the Syrians, and the Shimon, right, the Jews are not the Jews. I mean, we came back, Baruch Hashem, but meaning the 10 tribes were lost, right? He took them all out. As the pasuk says, "V'asir gvulos amim v'asudo sehem v'shoshesi." Right, Sancheriv Dafka on purpose, right, to make sure people subservient, to make sure they wouldn't rebel. Right, he moved people around so they wouldn't be as comfortable in their lands. So Tachlis is right. Har Seir, right, again, also was conquered by Sancheriv. So you see that the word Sham Adi Amazeh doesn't mean forever either. So Gemara says Tiyufta Inachanami that the word Sham and Adi Amazeh does not mean forever. Al Rav Nachman. As Rav Nachman said, Tana was under the rise of Chachamim Omrim Aron Belishkas Dira Eitzim Hayagandus. That the Aron was actually in the Lishkas Dira Eitzim. That was one of the chambers in the Ezra's Nashim, I think. Anyway, that's where they would get the wood. We mentioned this already in the Masechta that, if I'm not mistaken, that there was the Kohanim that had a mum, right, they would sit there and they would check the wood if it was wormy. You couldn't bring wormy wood on the Mizbeach. So if the Kohanim had a mum, they couldn't do the Avodah, whatever, they had a broken hand or something, that they needed to heal, so they still had a purpose in the Beis HaMikdash. They could check it, they could hang out in there. So long story short, that's where the Aron was hidden. Now, it doesn't obviously mean that they just put it in that room and left it, because that room obviously was destroyed with the rest of the Beis HaMikdash, and you know, it didn't have any trap doors, but somehow it means that there was a way, either it was hidden underneath, or there was a let's say, a secret, you know, panel there, as we'll see in a second, that there was a, somebody noticed something in the construction. I mean, the Stamatachlis, that's how you got to where the Aron was hidden. Either it was underneath, or there was a passage, or whatever. So now the Gemara tells a story. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Afanan Amitanina. We also learned in the Mishnah, right? Ma'aseh b'kohen echad. This Mishnah is in Shkolim, right? If you remember, right, did recently, right? Ma'aseh b'kohen echad. Shahayim is asik. There's a kohen who was busy. Gemara will explain exactly what he was doing. Right? Rashi says he wasn't doing anything tactical. He wasn't doing anything appropriate, but Gemara is going to say in a second that he was kind of playing around with his axe. Okay, maybe he was sharpening his axe, or just kind of whatever. Rashi says betul v'schok. He was taking, he was joking around. He was taking a walk, right, for no reason. The Gemara is going to say in a second. Rabbi Chabo says that he was misasig bekardumo. He was dealing with his axe. Okay, fine. Maybe he was just playing with it. Anyway, inechanami. But again, I think the point that the Rashi is trying to make is you'll see in a second that this kohen died, and you'll see that that was the source, the reason why he passed away, because he was doing inappropriate things. But Lamaisa, right, wasn't covered for the Beis HaMikdash. So either way, so he was busy with this axe. He was, you know, hanging around in the in this area, in this lishkas, what's it called, lishkas dira eitzim, and v'ravitz ritzpa meshuna mechavosa. And he saw the floor was a little bit different than one of the other ones. And he went to tell his friend, and he wasn't able to finish telling him until right before he died. His neshama left him, shesham aron nignas. And they knew that, they for sure knew that that was where the aron was. Now, what does that mean? Meaning, because if he didn't tell them, right, so how did they know it was there? So it must be that he got far enough into his story that they understood that something was amiss, but he didn't give them enough information for them to be able to find it, because obviously, you know, then they would have, I guess, taken it or whatever, or they took it as a sign that they weren't supposed to go take it. Long story short, right, he noticed something weird in the floor, and they realized that's where it was. Okay, my Hava, what was the coin doing with? We talked about, right, Amar Rabbi Chava was asking Kardu Mahoya, right, he was busy with his axe. Okay, time to be Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel taught the following to his Talmidim. In the base medrash, Shnei Kohanim Bali Mumim Hayu Mitzlayim Be'etzim. Again, there were two similar story, or maybe more details of the story. There were two Kohanim there who had Mumim, right? As I pointed out, they had a Mum, and they were checking the wood from becoming weather to see if it was wormy, right? Nishmita Karmdu Moshal Echad Mehem V'Nafla Sham. One of the axes of the other one, I guess they had to chop through the wood to get to see if the insides were wormy. So they were, you know, doing their work, and one of the axes slipped. V'yatza eish v'achlaso, and fire came out from that area and burned it. So the Tafas is right. They realized that that must be where the aron was hidden. Rav Yehuda pointed out that there's a contradiction in Psukim. See, the pasuk says, "Vayiru rashei habadim." This is about the aron, right? That the aron, the poles, the tips of the poles were visible. Yeah. Another pasuk says, but the aron should not be seen from the outside. So how does that work? Hakeitzad? So the Gemara says, nirin velo nirin. Right? You could see it, but you couldn't see it. Now what does that mean? So the Gemara explains. Tanya Vehachi, we also learned the Raisa, Vayiru, Roshei Abadim. You have to see Vayira'u, Roshei Abadim. The poles had to be seen. Yachol lo yehu zazim nimkoman. You might have thought you're not allowed to slide them out of where they were, meaning you weren't allowed to take them out of the pole, out of the poles, out of the rings. But you could move the poles, right, within the rings. Right? That's a puzzle, right? It says you shouldn't take the badim, the poles out of the aron, but you could move them, right? Because it's tamalot, because the puzzle says by yeruchu abadim, right? You can move you can extend the poles, right? You can move them back and forth within the rings. Yachol yu mikurayin baparochas v'yotzin. You might have thought that the poles should poke through the parochas, and you could see them, right? You should get some holes there, right? Should cut some holes, and then the poles should rip through. So it says, Tamalomar v'lo yeru achutza. They should not be seen on the outside. So how does that work? Dochen bolten v'yotzin baparochas. The poles stuck right through the parochas, right? We imagine the parochas is just a flat piece of linen, and not linen, but a flat piece of fabric. Well, it was very thick, but either way, we imagine it hanging straight down. But no, actually, the poles were sticking out, and that the protrusion was visible. Right, obviously, not through the parochas, but you could see something poking out. And just like a woman's breasts, Shneimar, as Pazik says, Tzror Hamor Dodi Li Bein Shaddai Yelin. And that's Pazik in Shir Hashirim, right? That Tzror Hamor Dodi, right? The beloved Tzror Hamor. That's the spices. Right, that's hinting to the Ketores, right? Bein Shaddai Yelin, right? Should live, right? Should I guess dwell or sleep or whatever between the breasts. Now, again, that's the illusion of where the Ketores went in the Beis Hamikdash, right? Between the poles, as we mentioned a couple days ago. Amar Rav Katina, Rav Katina says, B'shashayu Yisrael Ol LeRegel, when Bnei Yisrael would be Ol LeRegel, Megolim Lahem Es Parochas. They would roll up the parochas, right, so they could see the aron. Umarim lahem es akruvim shahayu ma'orin zevaze, and they would show Am Yisrael the kruvim who were hugging each other. Umarim lahem, and the Kohanim would say, "Ruchi baskem lefnei amakom kechiva zachar keva." Right, check it out. See how much Hakadosh Baruch Hu loves you, just like the love between a man and a woman. Masiv Rav Chista said, "One second. What do you mean they saw the aron?" Right, Pasuk says, "V'lo yavo liros kevalo as akodesh," and then the next word is "vamesu." Right, the Levium should not come when they were coming to take the Aron for traveling. And so they should not look at it. I mean, they have to go kind of, they have to operate in a manner which they wouldn't look on it. As he's talking about when they put the kelim into the nartik, it literally means the bags, but they would throw wrappings on it, right, the cloth or whatever. They were not allowed to touch the aron, right? They had to carry it by the badim, right? The levim weren't allowed to look at the aron when they were preparing it for travel. So how could Am Yisrael see the kruvim? Right, what does that mean? So Amar Rav Nachman, mashal akala. It's a mashal for a bride. Again, the relationship between the Jews and Am and Hakadosh Baruch Hu, right? Again, in many places is compared to a wedding, right? That right, Maimon Har Sinai was like the wedding, right? So this is the same thing, that Am Yisrael and Hakadosh Baruch Hu, right, have that relationship. That's how the love is depicted. So he says similar over here, that the its parable is to a kala, calls Mashiv Vesav. Yeah, as long as she's still in her own house, right? So Tsnua b'Ma'ala, she's still a little bit Tsnua, she's still modest, right? Kevin Shabbosel b'Ischamia, but once she's gotten to her father-in-law's house, i.e., once she's fully married to him, right? And then she goes to see the father-in-law, saying it's Tsnua b'Ma'ala, and she's no longer Tsnius. Now it doesn't mean she's not Tsnius, but again, she's much more open, right? Much more familiar, and actually much less reserved. Right? Obviously, it doesn't mean it's mutter for a kala to be not sneas, right, in their father-in-law's house. Right? Again, just she's much more comfortable. So that's how, it's the same idea that we were able, after Am Yisrael had already moved into the Beis HaMikdash, right, and had a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for many years, and then we were able to see, right, the Aron straight away. Masav Rav Chana bar Rav Katina, he said, what are you talking about? Masav HaKohen Echad Shai Misasek. Again, what happened here? What was the story we just told? And the Kohen wanted to reveal to everybody else where the Aron was, and Hashem killed him. So obviously, right, you couldn't look at the, you couldn't look at the Aron. They didn't want to find the Aron. You wanted to see the Aron. That's already the point when the Beis HaMikdash had already been destroyed. That's already the second Beis HaMikdash time when the Aron had been hidden or taken away. Right, assuming again this sheet says that it was hidden. But they'd already been, Am Yisrael had been divorced from Hashem, right, through the exile, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and then they got remarried, quote-unquote, and they built the second Beis HaMikdash. So, Nikrusha Chazru L'Chibasa Rishona, right, when a couple gets divorced and then subsequently gets remarried, so the you don't just pick up from where you left off, right? There's a whole backtracking to, like, you know, it's as if for the first time, and right? You have to already mend fences and kind of heal wounds. So obviously, it's not as you're not as familiar with each other at that point. And again, Kosh Baruch Hu didn't want us looking straight up at the Aron. Okay, so the Gemara says, what's going on over here? Just to make a point. But my askina, are we talking about the first Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash? Again, going back to the halacha that we said, that Rav Katina said that they would roll up the paruchas, right, for Am Yisrael to see the kruvim. Right, this is a similar question as we had a couple days ago. That meaning, at no point was there a paruchas and the kruvim, right? If you remember, we had the machlokas and the mishnah, whether it was one paruchas or two, that's second Beis HaMikdash. Second Beis HaMikdash, there was no aron, as we've been discussing. So how were you rolling up the paruchas to see the kruvim? How does that work? And that's the Gemara asks. But my askinon, you know, what are we talking about, right? Ine on Mikdash Rishon, if you're talking about the first Beis HaMikdash, so my having paruchas, there was no paruchas. I said, Elo Mikdasheni, so it must be Mikdasheni, but we have a Kruvim. But in the second Beis HaMikdash, there were no Kruvim. So it says, the Olam Mikdash Rishon, really, you're talking about the first Beis HaMikdash. My Parochas, what does it mean? You say you rolled up the Parochas. So Parochas de Bavi, right? The Parochas of the entrances, meaning, Amar Rabbi Zer Barav, Amar Rav, Shloshos are Parochas Ayub HaMikdash. Right? There were 13 curtains, right, in the Beis HaMikdash. Shiva Kenegan Shiva Sharim, one each by all the gates. Shtaim Achas, the Pisco Shal Heichal, Vechas, the Pisco Shal Ulam, one to get into the Heichal, and one to get into the Ulam. Right? The Ulam, if you remember, was the big area to get into the Heichal. Right? Okay, the long area to get into the Heichal. And then Shtaim Bedvir, Ushtaim Kenegan Baalia, and one in the inner area, right, and one on the upper floors. Two of the inner areas by the Amatrax and by the gate to get into the Kodesh Kodashim, and one for the holy the upper areas, meaning the upper floors. What's it called? In the right above, meaning if there were floors up on top of the Heichal wasn't the highest the highest level. So again, if you have you have to cordon off between the Heichal and the Kodesh Kodashim, both on floor one and floor two. So either way, right? So what it means was that he pulled up all those parochos, meaning in the first Beis Hamikdash, so we said that there was a wall between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim, but there still was a way to get through. Right? The Kohen Gadol still had to do that avoda. So there was a parochas there over the entrance. So they would just roll up that parochas, and that's what we're talking about. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, "Olam Mikdash Sheni." Really? No, we're talking about the second Beis Hamikdash. Aye, what about the Kruvim? What do we mean, roll up the Aron to see the Kruvim? Kruvim Ditsursa Havukaili. There were Kruvim on the walls. There were Kruvim on the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. As Rashi says, they were painted on the walls. And that's what he wanted to see. The Chetiv, as Pazuk says, Ves Kol Kiros Havayez Meisav Kala Kruvim V'Timoros U'Ture Tzitzin. Right, there were paintings, right? The walls of the Beis HaMikdash, there were paintings, right? Engravings, etc. V'tzipa Zav Miyushar Al HaMechuka U'Ksiv Kamar Ish Velogos, Logos, I'm not sure. Okay. My Kishar Ish Velogos, what does that mean? So, Amar Rabba Bar Shila, right? It means that they were, let's see, Ish HaMa'ura Velevaya Shalom, right? A person who is hugging, right, his fellow, meaning husband and wife who are hugging each other, right? That was the image. Amar Rish Lagash, Rish Lagash says, Beshash Nechlis Nachrim Lehechal, and when the Goyim came into the Hechal, right, to the Beis HaMikdash, when they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Ro Kruvim Ma'urin Zebazer, right? This Gemara is quoted a lot around Tishba time, right? When they went to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, so the Goyim saw the Kruvim hugging each other, right? Again, because the symbol for Am Yisrael was that, you know, that Hashem, even though Hashem was destroying the Beis HaMikdash and exiling us, He still loves us, right? That was important, obviously, very important point. So anyway, but they saw that the Kruvim were hugging each other, right? Well, see, on the Shukva Amu, they took it out to the market and they said, what's going on over here? Yisrael Halalu Shem Berachas and Bracha V'Kelas and Bracha. These holy Jews, their Bracha is a Bracha, their curse is a curse. Meaning Hashem, right? They can do things with their words and Hashem listens to them. Yasku V'Dvarim Halalu, right? They were put off by seemingly inappropriate images in the holiest place. Wait, they're going to deal with this? Miyadi Zilu, they started making fun of them. Shemar's Pazik says, V'chol Mechabdea Hizilua Ki Re'u Ervasa, right? All the people who once Mechabdea, right? All the people who once loved her, i.e., Am Yisrael, right? They made fun of her and they saw her erva. I mean, they saw the Kruvim, right? And they thought that it was disgusting, but they didn't appreciate exactly the imagery, right? The image of a Kadosh Baruch Hu loving his children like a father loves a son. Okay, fine. Weiter now, two dots. Again, we said the stone. There was a stone on the bottom from back in the day, right? Instead of the Aron, there was a stone called the Evan Shasiya. Right? So the Gemara says, "Tana, without the Raisa, Mimena, Mishamimena, Hushsas Ha'olam." From this stone, the world was set up, or Hushsas, or founded, or created. Right? Tanan, Kamada, Hamar, and this Mishnah is according to the one who says, Mitzion Nivra Olam, that the world was created. Right? Where did Hashem start with? He started with Tzion. Right? That was the first part where Kosh Baruch created the world. The Tanya, the Glinda, the Bryce, Rabbi Elezer, Omer, Olam, and Sa'isa Nivra, the world was created from the middle. Right? It started from the middle, then came out, right? As the Pasuk says, right? Shinamar, Betsegas, Afar, Lamutzak, Uragavim, Yud Baku. Okay, Rabbi Yeshua, Omer, Rabbi Yeshua says, Olam, and Astadim Nivra, the world was created from the outside, and then in. Shinamar, Kila, Shelag, Yomar, Heve, Arendt, Vegeshim, Matar, Vegeshim, Mitrosuzo, and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Evan, Yara, Kosh Baruch Hu, Hubayam, Hashem threw a stone into the sea, Rabbi Menu, Nisha, Sa'olam, and then from that, the world was created. Shinamar, Zabak says, Alma, Adonai, Hudbu'u, Omira, Evan, Pinasa. Right, okay, that's that opinion. That's what we're going with, right? And or I guess that's really the last opinion, really, that we're going with. The Chachamim say Mitzion never. No, it was created from Tzion. It's Kadosh Baruch Hu started in Eretz Yisrael and then went outwards. Shneimar, the pasuk says, "Is more than asaf akel Elokim Hashem." Right? Omer, the pasuk says, "Mitzion michlal yofi." Right? From Tzion, the beauty came, right, the world. Mimenu michlal yofio shel olam. From it, from Tzion, right, the beauty of the world came out. Okay, that's our Mishnah. That's the last shita. That we're going like the Chachamim. Tanya, we learned the Rabbeisa, Rabbi Elazar, Hagadol Omer, Rabbi Elazar, the great, right, or the big, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Hukunus, meaning the normal Rabbi Elazar. Sometimes, once in a while, it adds, right, Hagadol, right, implying that it's not, but really that's the standard Rabbi Elazar, so you shouldn't get confused. So he says, Omer, the Pasuk says, Elo Talos Hashemayim V'Aretz B'Yibaram B'Yom Mazos Hashem Elokim Eretz V'Shemayim. Right? These are the toldos shemayim mishamayim nivru. Right? Whatever came from the sky was created from the sky. Toldos aris mi'eretz nivru. Right? That whatever came from the land was created from the land. The chachamim say no. Elu mitzion nivru. Everything came from Tzion. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, mizmor le'asaf kel elokim Hashem diber vayikra aretz b'mizrach shemesh amavua. The Omer, the pasuk says, mitzion mechlal yofi elokim ofia. And again, the same as we just mentioned, mimenu mechlal yofi yoshal olam. From Tzion, from Eretz Yisrael, the entire world was created. Okay, Shkoyach Gadol, have a tremendous Shabbos, and we'll go weiter on Shabbos. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.